Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together, we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into kingdom pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
We are escaping the rat race today on Kingdom Pursuits, which you'll understand that a little bit later as I get to my riddle about how we're escaping the rat race today. But we are so blessed today to have so many wonderful people with us. We have Jan and Amanda Jan Dyer and Amanda McWhorter with us. But very cool. Her children, Matthew, Easton, and Ansley, are sitting. So we have a whole plethora of folks in the studio. We also have Harold Dyer with us with a Masculine Journey Boot Camp. That's coming up at Carolina Bible Camp in Moxville, November 1st through the 4th. But also on the phone with us, we have Doug Small, who is the president of Project Pray. How cool is that? And the Small Conference Church Conference, it's coming to Asheboro's Shady Creek Log and Shady Creek Baptist Churches, October 18th to the 20th. I saw the picture of that log church on the website. Doug, that looks really cool.
Yes.
And there's a story behind the log church?
Wonderful story. George Whitfield came through North Carolina, and he prayed that, that God would raise up a John the Baptist in this wilderness. And a few years later, in his meeting in Massachusetts, a man by the name of Shubal Stearns was gloriously saved. He came back to North Carolina, built that log church. It grew to almost 1,000, and out of it came the Southern expression of the First Great Awakening and 1,000 churches.
Wow. Out of that log church that's right there in Asheboro.
Out of that log, that little log church.
Is the creek still shady?
The creek is still shady, right down there, right at the bottom of the hill.
So that's cool. So you can hear, man, this is going to be awesome. And that's coming up October 18th to the 20th. And then we got the boot camp coming up November 1st through the 4th. But also this Thursday, which is October 11th, Dr. David Jeremiah. The Overcomer Tour is coming to Raleigh's PNC Arena. It's at 7 p.m. And guess what? You could join me, Stu. We'll have the whole group there from Truth Broadcasting. We would love to see you come out. All you got to do is go to kingdompursuits.com and click on the thing to order your tickets. It's absolutely free, and it's going to be a huge event. I think Stu may be even calling in a little bit later to talk about that. But as you might guess, speaking of escaping the rat race. Now, I don't know if you've seen this, Harold, but there's a Decon commercial that just came out. And I never watched TV, but I was watching it with my father. And I saw this ad, and I have been laughing about it ever since. It said, mice, they love Decon to death. Well, that got me thinking. You know, I, with my punning skills, could make a much better ad for Decon than what they had there. Although I like that mice love it to death. But I wanted to take their phrase and add a little bit more to it to really get something that had some bite in it. You know what I'm saying? So here we go. Get a killer deal on Decon. Mice love it to death. Rats say it's to die for. Start your own vermin diorama in your basement. Decon. You know, you can find it today in your local Walmart. Anyway, so at the end of all those shenanigans, you knew I would actually have a Bible riddle, which I have. And so here's my Bible riddle, if I can even say that, Harold. My Bible riddle for today. And by the way, last week, my guest on the phone answered the riddle, and so people couldn't call in and win. So all the people that are on mics and on the phone and all, this is a chance for our listeners to call in and win. So don't answer, even if you know, which this today, I have to say, is amongst one of my most classic riddles. I'm very excited if somebody can actually answer this one. I'm sure you can, so be sure and call in because there won't be many. And not to mention, we have one of the biggest prizes we've ever offered on Kingdom Pursuits, if you can guess this riddle. And here's the riddle. Which Bible character slayed a dragon in the Apocrypha? By waxing eloquent. In fact, you could say he invented the Decon principle. He assassinated it. He assassinated the dragon. 866-348-7884 is the number to call in and win. If you can tell us which Bible character slayed a dragon in the Apocrypha by waxing eloquent, you could say he invented the Deacon principle in that he assassinated him. 866-348-7884. And if they can guess that, Keith, tell them what they win.
They can win a Masculine Journey Boot Camp from November 1st through the 4th, which includes lodging, meals, and a life-changing chance to meet God and get your heart back.
$199 value. All you have to tell us is who waxed eloquent when he assassinated the dragon. 866-348. The lights were lighting up. 866-348-7884. So, Doug, tell us a little bit about Project Pray. I had not heard about it. I'm very excited to hear about it.
I backed into the prayer movement. I was a pastor for many years. I taught three Bible colleges, and in the process of that, I became aware of what was happening at Multnomah Bible College and Seminary. Joe Aldrich, the late Joe Aldrich, was taking pastors from whole cities, 40, 50, 70, 80, I've been in these with 200 pastors. Get on the bus on Monday morning, go out of town, and do nothing but pray. Pray for their city. And God just kind of commandeered me, picked me up and plopped me down in the middle of that. And that movement is still going on, but not with the fervor that it had. But I began to realize that my call was not primarily to teach or pastor. I think all of our pastors get confused about this. Our real call is to be with Him. And then out of that comes preaching and teaching and everything else. And I think that really is the Reformation, the new Reformation call to the church, to make the church a house of prayer for the nations to the end that we finish the Great Commission. And that really is what this conference is all about. It's really what Project Pray is all about. How do we spark a great awakening in this nation that would result in a massive turning back to God?
Yeah, and I could not agree with you more, but the beauty of what that is in prayer is that He does the work. Other words, you're trusting God to be God rather than you be God, so we got to turn to the one that is God, and you do that through prayer. And these boot camps that we have coming up, the Masculine Journey Radio Boot Camp, they have within them what we call a covenant of silence. So after the speakers speak, the members have an hour to go out and get with God in prayer. Right, Harold? You've been through some of that.
Yeah.
And that's where the fruit happens, right? That's where we see transformation. That's where we see, you know, people's lives changed. And so I wanted to have the wives of some of these men on here. And Harold's wife, Jan, is here. You want to introduce the listeners to your wife? Harold?
This is my sweetheart of many, many years. We've been married 54 years. We actually got engaged within 6 weeks of our first meeting. She is a wonderful, wonderful lady. And without her, I wouldn't be anywhere near what I am.
And so you had the idea, Jan, I know, because we're good friends, to bring Harold to our Thursday morning Christian businessmen's group, right?
Right. He got retired from Ingersoll Rand in computers. He had been with them for 44 years, or in computers for 44 years. Just so happens that 16 years ago, this 10th of this month, he died twice on the catheterization table. So he got a different heart when they brought him back to life. It was not the first man that I had. So he went to boot camp to get the new heart, the old heart back, but a newer, higher level.
Right. So when we come back, we have more from Jan. We have more from Doug. And you have figured out who is this person that waxed eloquent in slaying the dragon. 866-348-7884. So much more. Kingdom Pursuits coming up. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom today. Speaking of that passion, we have Doug Small, who is the president of Project Pray, and you can hear his passion for prayer with a small church conference coming to Ashboro Shady Creek Baptist, but actually they have that log building where they're going to have part of that. That's got to be cool. October 18th through the 20th. And then we have Jan Dyer and Amanda McWhorter, who are wives of the men coming to Masculine Journey Boot Camp. That's at Carolina Bible Camp in Moxville. That's coming up November 1st through the 4th. And then I want to remind you again about David Jeremiah. David Jeremiah's Overcomer Tour. Move the powerless to powerful. That's coming up this Thursday, October 11th. It's at 7 p.m. in Raleigh's PNC Arena. Those tickets are free. Like all this stuff, you can go to kingdompursuits.com, find out about the small church conference, maybe suggest your pastor attend. All about the Masculine Journey Boot Camp, of course, the links are there to go register. Of course, we're giving away a free boot camp adventure to someone. All you have to do is call in and tell us which Bible character slayed a dragon in the Apocrypha by waxing eloquent. You could say he invented the decon principle, he assassinated the dragon. 866-348-7884 is the number to call in on that one. 866-34-TRUTH. When we left our hero Jan, she was describing that Harold had been retired and then, unfortunately, had a heart catheterization where his heart stopped and wow. And so I don't know if Harold was like this, but I know that when I lost my heart in, you know, all those years in the car business, my wife would have told you, well, Robbie sits on TV and sits and watch TV. He doesn't do much anymore with any outside activities. You know, he comes home at night, turns on the boob tube. We don't see him again until or interact with him much. And over the weekends, is watching football and, you know, it just doesn't seem like the man I married.
There are passages. And I had read Gail Sheehy's book, Passages, and I hadn't really experienced too many because the whole time he was working, he was in computers and he would work like around the clock because the job had to get done. Well, when that was taken away from him at age 67, I had just begun to learn that I had a different Harold from the one that had rescued me out of my dysfunction the first 20 years of our life. I had a poet. I had one that could not say enough kind things and write kind things. And he was an excellent father and mentor to our two boys. And all the boys in the neighborhood came and more spent time with him. But this season of his life, when he did not have a damsel to rescue anymore, a job to go to,
a
battle to fight, I could see that he really did have a new battle, and that was to retrieve the treasure that I had known for 45 years. He had lost himself in his work immediately after his open heart surgery 16 years ago, this October the 10th, he went back to work and work became his life. Well, 10 years ago today, 11, he had a motorcycle wreck.
Rich was his adventure to live to some extent.
Well, it was his mistress, I called it. I said, the Lord took that mistress away, the motorcycle, because I said, I'll never ride with you again because of the speed with which he wanted to drive that. I had cautioned him many times, and he would not listen to me. So when he had a wreck and I wasn't on there with him, scratching his back and praying, EM bounds, and this prayer, I have become a prayer warrior because...
And so there was the situation.
Yes.
And so now, how cool is it we have Harold's side of that story? But I'm going to bypass that for a minute. We're going to get to Harold and his side of the story. But first, I'm going to go back to Doug. And I am just blown away by what you guys are doing because I think that with God is where all the power is, and in the churches, wow, if we could find our place there, that's where it's going to happen, right, Doug?
Yeah, you know, and we're talking here about prayer and mistresses. I think for many pastors, the church has become the mistress. Mm-hmm. We have fallen in love with the bride of Christ, and it's always wrong to love another man's wife. And we look, even members, we look for our satisfaction from church on Sunday rather than having a vital daily relationship with the Lord. It happens to people. It happens to pastors. And so our focus in this conference is how do we, in a sense, recover a healthy center? You know, we say God answers prayer. Really, he doesn't. He doesn't answer prayer. He answers people who pray. And the power is not in prayer. It's in God. That is, it's a relationship. That's what he's after. The average, only 10% of churches are more than 350. About 20% are more than 200. So this conference is focused on that congregation. Okay,
can you give me those? I apologize to interrupt you. Interrupt you, Doug. I didn't understand your statistics, and so if I didn't, the listeners may not have been able to. You said only 10% of churches. Could you?
Have 350 or more.
So only 10% of the churches in America are larger than 350 members, really?
That's right. Only 0.7 larger than 1,000. Only about 20% larger than 200. We are a church. We're a nation of churches that are dozens. Actually, the average church in America, half of all churches, are 75 or less, or 75 or more. There are not a lot of conferences that are focused just on those conferences. How do you lead spiritual awakening in a church that's the typical church of America? And so we designed this for pastors, but we also designed this for people. You can register up to 5 people from any given church for $99 and get a free lunch, too. You can't beat that. Extraordinary speakers.
One of the people in my studio just said 38 people. And is that 38 people sort of an average?
The Nash across the board for all denominations, it's 75. It may have moved a little bit, but it's about 75. We are typically single cell churches.
So and that 75 people would be like 10 families, right? Or maybe 15 families tops. If you think
it's
that
two
you
point.
Know,
We hate to get in the weeds here with the statistics, but about 2.3 people come to church per car, something like that. So you can do the math that way.
Yeah. So somewhere in the neighborhood of 28 or 9 cars loads coming. But you know the thing I like about that statistic, Pastor, when I think about it, is the intimacy that's there. Because when I don't, you know, when I'm not around 1,000 people, it's a whole lot more easier for me to get real with a smaller group like that.
Well, and there's more too. We've had a romance with large churches in America for about 30 years, but small tactical units of Christians committed to do more than just come together and sing their favorite hymns to make a difference in the nation. This is really where the strength of our future lies.
Well, I gotta dive into this a little bit because I'm finding it such a fascinating discussion. Jan was shaking her head like crazy a minute ago when I said, doesn't that smaller group make more intimacy? And you shook your head like, no, it doesn't.
What I have found in the group that we worship with is that more love has grown out of the smaller few. And because we have lost so many, we are now more mature and open to embrace whoever, which is what it's all about. So, but initially it was religion and within our immediate family. There's always a big core family or two in every group. There was in the one in my hometown. But now, we have been with our group for 43 years, and I say we have seen the maturity and the growth and the willingness to look for every tribe and every nation. We've brought in Hispanics before and had classes with them.
And so there's this sense of community that I'm seeing is more available with a smaller group, perhaps. But that community, really, it starts on a foundation of prayer, right? Because if these people aren't there, am I on the right track, Doug?
Yeah, I think what we've been doing unconsciously is trying to win people to the church rather than win people to Christ. We think we're winning to Christ, but we win them to a Sunday to Sunday experience mm-hmm. rather than a daily time over an open Bible. We've reduced prayer to a list. It's a kind of a to-do thing we give to God, and it's become very self-interested. And I think what God is trying to do lovingly is to get us to begin to open our doors wider, to begin to pray for others. Particularly, we've got a whole generation of kids now, 40% of whom, the young generation, were not raised in church. They don't know the Bible stories. They don't know what we all as veteran Christians do know.
Speaking of Bible stories, Doug, because we're about to go to a break, but I want to throw it out there one more time. I am shocked, no end, that no listener has called in yet to tell us which Bible character, because this is $199 value. This boot camp is going to be amazing. It should change somebody's heart. And I know it's hard, but somebody out there has the answer. Which Bible character slayed a dragon in the Apocrypha? It's not in the regular 66 books of the Bible that you know. It's the part that's in an Episcopal Bible or a Jerusalem Bible. He waxed eloquent. Who was this? He assassinated him. 866-34-TRUTH. So much more. Kingdom Pursuits coming at you. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And we're so blessed today to have with us Doug Small. He's the president of Project Pray and the Small Church Conference coming to Asheboro's Shady Creek Log and Baptist Church, October 18th through the 20th. And Jan and Amanda, they're the wives of the Masculine Journey Boot Camp team, some of them. I was trying to get Tammy up here today, too. But she got kind of overwhelmed by our daughter coming back from out of town last night. But this boot camp's coming up in Moxville, November 1st through the 4th. And we are giving away a Masculine Journey boot camp to the first person to call in and answer this. And so we wonderfully have two, but I'm going to ask you both, even if the first one gets it, the first one I'm going to go to is Carol. I'm going to go to Chris second. But Chris, stay on the line, even if Carol answers it, because we want to make sure we get this boot camp to somebody that can go. So, and we might even have another one for you, Chris. So just stay on. Don't give up on us. We got Carol is in Kernersville, North Carolina. Carol, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. I got to remember what show I'm on. who are you thinking?
Well, I'm thinking it's Belle.
There,
the name of the book, Belle and the Dragon, right?
The book is Belle and the Dragon.
Yes.
And so, you know, Belle was actually a god that was involved in that book, Belle and the Dragon. So I'm going to say you're absolutely right that Belle and the Dragon is involved in it. Okay. However, there's another character. There's a character that actually waxed eloquent. And so, so maybe Chris got that. And so hang on with me, Carol. Did he get your information? Okay.
No, he told me to hang on.
Okay, hang on. I'm going to put you back on hold. He's going to get your information. I'm going to go to Chris, is in Oxford, North Carolina. See, I don't get a lot of folks calling me from Oxford, so I'm just blessed, Chris, that you would call me from Oxford. Way up there above Durham. Welcome.
Yep. So, I had Belle. That's all I had.
You had Belle, too. You are both right that the book is Belle and the Dragon. So but that's not the character that was the star of the book, Belle and the Dragon. Do you know how the dragon got gone?
I know my kids have read it.
It is really a cool story. I got to tell it. Here's what happened, Chris. The Babylonians had this dragon. They thought it was amazingly cool. And so they took this Bible character that's pretty well known. I'm not going to throw out any hints, but he hung out in a lion's den one time. And this guy, they came and they were like, you need to be wowed by this dragon. You need to worship this dragon like, you know, they wanted to worship Nebuchadnezzar. This dragon can do everything, da 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 da. And so Daniel was like, oops. Our character our character is like, you know, I could make that dragon go away. I can slay your dragon in two easy steps. And they're like, no, you know, that dragon will eat you. He breathes fire. He's going to burn you up and all this stuff. So our character makes up a ball of wax and hair and feeds it like Decon to the dragon. Then the Babylonians wanted to kill him because he killed their dragon. It's a great story. I don't, you know, it's in the Apocrypha. It's in there, Chris, but there you have it. Bel and the Dragon and our character. So somebody else can still call in, and we appreciate that. We appreciate you calling in, Carol. 866-348-7884 is the number to call in. If you know that character that I had not mentioned by accident, somewhat, Harold. But Harold, we promised our listeners that they would hear the other side of this, you know, from your perspective.
Well, from my perspective, I have to give my sweetheart the credit for me being involved in our Thursday morning Bible study and also the boot camps. And I have to admit that I was a reluctant participant in both of them. When she first brought up the thing about the Thursday morning, I said, you know, that's too early. I don't want to get up. I've always been a person who liked to rise late. But I also was pressured to go to the boot camp, and I didn't want to go. I thought, well, it's not going to do anything for me. I was wrong on both counts. The boot camp is a great experience. I encourage you ladies out there to get your husbands off their duffs and get them involved, because it will be meaningful to them, even though they think it won't be. So that's my encouragement to you ladies. Do like my sweetheart did. Push them out the door.
Yeah, God gave us all a masculine heart, the men. And the women, he gave a feminine heart, and there are certain things that appeal to men. And, you know, we've been talking about the church, and believe me, we want to advance the church. But inside of that, you know, we want an advance, something worth dying for. That's a battle to fight, something worth dying for. Well, to get that kind of passion back to that kind of experience in relationship with Christ takes some work. And
the intro always talks about a band of brothers. And I now have friends that I never would have had that came as a result of being involved in the boot camp. You know, there's Big Jim, Little Jim, Andy. There's a lot of people, Gaither. And so it's, to me, you get a relationship that you're not going to get any other way. Many of us are stuck in our beliefs, and we think that anybody that doesn't think like we think is not worthy of my friendship. That's wrong. That's an error.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. Well, Doug, I know you're involved in the same kind of a battle up there with your ministry.
Well, let me just kind of tag, right on to what was said there. In every city, if we could get pastors to become a band of brothers. So this conference, this lead conference for pastors, for laity in local churches, is sponsored by, get this, the Bivocational Office for Southern Baptist Ministries and Church of God Prayer Ministries. Now, so here's Pentecostals and Baptists coming together. And then there's a whole group in between, Thrive It, which is a Lutheran organization, and others are behind it. Because until we do become a band of brothers, until we do come out of our denominational silos, until we do begin to realize that we're bound together by core theology. our tribal theology is different, but it's the core theology and the centrality of Christ that the nation so desperately needs now. And so our hope is that out of this conference, across the Carolinas, bands of brothers, of pastors and laity will begin to think, why don't we come together for common cause and make a difference in our community beyond our Sunday morning celebration?
Yeah, that is awesome. And as you were saying that, I was recalling, I interviewed a number of pastors out of, what's the country north of Israel that has the giant cedars?
Lebanon.
All these pastors out of Lebanon. And they told about how prior to the invasion of Syria coming in the country and all that went on, you know, nobody talked to each other. You know, they were Baptist or they were Catholic or they were, you know, Pentecostal or whatever they were. But they said when the enemy came flooding into town and everybody was running for their lives, all of a sudden the pastors locked arms and became a band of brothers because they saw this the enemy was overrunning them. But I couldn't believe more strongly, Doug, that the enemy is overrunning America. I mean,
absolutely.
Spiritually, it's downright terrifying. And wow, if we as pastors and leaders in any way in churches would lock arms to come up against the enemy, I mean, that's a beautiful picture. And I couldn't think of a better way to have it happen than through those prayer meetings.
Absolutely. Where brothers dwell together in unity, God says, I'll sit up on the edge of my throne and command blessing in that place. Our problem is there is a formidable enemy, and it's we're in a meltdown now in the nation. But the difficulty is not the enemy. We've just not qualified for the blessing of God by our love for one another.
Wow, that's great stuff. Well, we have Carolyn, who is in Clayton, North Carolina, who feels like she has an answer to our riddle. So, Carolyn, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. Who do you think was the one who waxed eloquent against this dragon?
It was Daniel.
How did you ever get...
Well, I, to be honest, I knew the answer before you accidentally...
Bleeped it out, yeah.
But I actually Googled it, so... I kind of cheated.
No, you're exactly right. You're a winner, so I'm going to put you on hold and get your information while we talk to Laverne. Laverne is in Richmond, Virginia. Laverne, thank you so much for calling in today. Do you know who it was that...
That's who I said. Well, Daniel. It was
a decon experience. And wow. So you're exactly right. Thank you for listening up there in Richmond today. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you.
Bye-bye. All right, so we have solved the riddle, Harold. Well, the interesting thing is, to me, God keeps throwing out. Well, go ahead, Jan. You said you wanted to say something. You go ahead.
Yes, he was talking about the core. Well, our core theology is prayer and the Word, and that's what we need to be about 24/7. Not Sunday, Wednesday night, Sunday night. We are Christians with the Holy Spirit in us 24/7.
That's a fun place to be. So we got so much more coming up from the Masculine Journey team and Doug in our last segment of Kingdom Pursuits. So stay tuned. We got so much more coming at you. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Today, we are having so much fun, really, with Jan and Harold Dyer and Amanda and Brian McWhorter, which we got Brian in here now, and they are wives of the men of the Masculine Journey Boot Camp coming to Carolina Bible Camp in Moxville, North Carolina. That is coming up November 1st through the 4th, and the way that works is the men come in on a Thursday night, so they don't, you know, have to take off until they can come in after work on Thursday. And then they, all day Friday, all day Saturday, and then they leave around 12 o'clock on Sunday. And as we've described before, there are talks, but more importantly, there's covenant of silence times. And like I said, we got Brian McWhorter here. He's one of our speakers, amazingly gifted individual, if I do say so myself. And for you personally, though, it was an adventure. You didn't start out there. You started out, you know, coming to a boot camp.
I did. My first boot camp was, I think, 2013, 2014, somewhere in there. Sam Main, who is part of the Masculine Journey, invited me to go. I worked with Sam. A little reluctant at first. Eventually said yes and came. And obviously it was a blessing from the start. I learned that God was my father. I never knew that before. A lot of the wounds that I had carried from the past seemed to surface. And that was really only the beginning. It's been, you know, 4 years of kind of unraveling all that. So,
yeah. So I'm really curious if your wife would be willing to share a minute from your perspective. Your husband goes off on this adventure. What were you thinking?
I really honestly didn't think a whole lot about it, but then it was pretty much when he came back. I don't know if I can. Crap hit the fan. Pretty quickly.
Really?
Yeah, I think it was. I would say that he went more for Sam than for himself. I don't think he knew what he was getting himself into. And then when he came back, the enemy was roaring, and he had learned so much and grown personally in that time that Satan was ready to pounce. And he did. And it was a rough season. But I think if he wouldn't have gone to the boot camp, he wouldn't have had the tools in his pocket to get through it all.
And then the interesting thing for me is that not only did he continue to come to boot camps, but you yourself went to the Captivating in Colorado.
Yes. That was really hard, but really good.
And so you began to get that, and so wonderfully, God has blessed your family now, and you've got another child, and so you've got plenty just right there to work with, right?
Yes, we have four kids.
Yeah, so we wanted to share. We got some younger folks with us today, and Jan and Harold. But we're going to go back to Doug, and again, you could respond to, you know, what you're hearing there. Doug, are you still with us?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But I was wondering what your thoughts might be along those subjects of God as your father.
Absolutely. And the whole issue of intimacy and rediscovering a personal relationship with God. What you're describing as the boot camp sounds so much like an experience I had a number of years ago called Curcio. Some people call them Emmaus Road experiences where you're challenged to think about God, open your Bible, go alone. And this is really what we did with the Pastor's Prayer Summits as well. Encountering the presence of God in a way that just radically changes your own life forever. That's, of course, one of the things that we hope will happen out of this movement across North Carolina with the LEAD conference.
Yeah, because here's some people that really... they're devoting their life to the project of their churches and shepherding. And, you know, they a lot of times, I just love the idea of putting them in community like that. They're all there in this prayer session together, and obviously they can share their struggles and also their victories.
Yeah, and I think there's maybe an underestimated hunger among laity. So this event is for laity to really experience God and see a vital renewal. I really believe the next revival, and I believe we're going to have one, will be a marketplace revival. I think pastors and churches will be swept into it. But the hunger right now appears to be just the people you're talking to there. They're not professional clergy. They're laity who are just wanting to get away over an open Bible and encounter God. That's the surge that we're seeing. It's not the church ecclesia called out of the world. It's the church diaspora sown into culture. And it's heartening to see this buoyancy of lay people hungry for God across denominational lines. It's not experience-based. It's really more of a prayer and word kind of revival atmosphere that's growing in the nation.
Wow. I definitely feel that. Harold, you've been around even longer than me.
We always got to get to the AIDS joke, right? That's okay. It don't hurt bad.
But it, from your viewpoint, as you listen to Doug, and you're seeing that there, you're with the Church of Christ, so there's another denomination we hadn't spoke of yet. But, I see that out of your church as well. Of course, the Carolina Bible Camp, where we're going to have this, is at your camp.
Yeah. We're involved with CBC as supporters, and we love what it offers. Kids that go to camp in the summer, there's 7 weeks of camp, and kids come from all over to attend, and it's available for use like we're going to do with the boot camp as well. So it's a terrific facility.
Yeah, and one of the neatest things, Brian, I know you're going to feel the same way I do, is that we have 15 guys coming from the North Carolina Boys Academy.
Right.
And one of the things that we do, that we're going to do again in this boot camp, is called listening prayer, where you actually are just sitting with these young people who are 12, 13 years old, which are pretty uncomfortable listening for God to speak to them. But it was a remarkable thing to see what God did with these young people that were just listening for God.
Yeah, I think a lot of the 12 through 15-year-olds were a little skeptical that, you know, they've never heard from God or they can't hear from God. But over and over we saw that so many stories of God
speaking. Yeah, in your prayer group, I've told my story, but can you tell the story of your group, what actually happened?
I would say the biggest thing that happened, I heard specifically from God. It was really centered on Joshua. He was one of the attendees there. And all I kept hearing was courage. And you could just sense that Joshua knew that something was, it was going to require his courage. And
really?
You could see it in his eyes that... he received that.
Were you in Sam's group?
I was in Darren's group.
You were in Darren's group. Mm-hmm. Wow. So, that was one of the things that really blew me away, was we were really, trying to decide, is this too advanced for younger people like that? But as it turned out, all our great talks and all the stuff we did didn't have anywhere near the effect on those guys as just simply prayer did.
It did. It was... actually, my first experience doing it as well. So I was encouraged through it.
Yeah, I was encouraged beyond, all these guys came up to me afterwards. I speak to you, Mr. Robbie. Is that really God speaking? Did I hear this? Well, did you know so-and-so about, and each time they got insight into things that they weren't aware of. And it really, really increased their faith. And I know that it's your prayer conference coming up, Doug, that if those pastors hear from God, they get a pretty good direction to go with, don't they?
Absolutely. And we do have, Robbie, we do have some scholarships available. In fact, we have a couple whole church scholarships where you can bring your entire leadership team from your church. If they'll contact you or get the message to us, we'd be glad to help a small church out that can't afford to come otherwise.
Yeah, let me mention again that small church conference is there at kingdompursuits.com. And if you need a scholarship for your pastor, that kind of thing, again, their email is there, the connection to their website, Project Pray, and Doug's information is all there at kingdompursuits.com. They would love to hear from you. Any question that you may have or any way that you can partner with them or pray for them, as well as, of course, the Masculine Journey Radio Boot Camp that's coming up November 1st through the 4th. And I know my wife, I can tell that Amanda and Jan and all would, are really, really glad that God came in to our lives to help along those lines. Did you have any other words that you wanted to share, Amanda?
I think it's important for wives especially to know and understand that this is not a drive-through, that their husbands are not going to go and come back fixed.
I like that. But they're going to go and come back thirsty.
Yes.
And
that's where God comes in.
Yeah, there you go. I like that. That's really well said. Oh, wow. That was worth waiting for. Well, thank you so much for listening to Kingdom Pursuits. Again, I'd urge you to go to kingdompursuits.com to find out more about all these. Don't forget David Jeremiah coming up Thursday at the RPNC Arena. And you know, again, you listeners are the ones that make the show. I'm so grateful you listened today. And remember, there's so much truth coming at you on the Truth Network. Masculine Journey Radio starts here now at 12 o'clock, followed by Disciple Magazine.